And then we're going to talk about conflict, you and God. Preacher, there's never a conflict between me and God. Amen. I'm always right with God. Amen. All right. Famous last words. Amen. All right. Revelations 2, 4 and 5. We have already read these verses. We went over this church. We're going to go over them again tonight, just briefly. Amen. So read with me here, verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. We look into your word, Lord, to help us to see exactly what you would have us to see when it comes to this conflict between us and you. And I pray that, well, we might leave here a little bit more knowledgeable about the conflict and, Lord, avoid it at all costs. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, conflicts, you and God. We're going to talk about that, conflicts, you and God. It is on the back of your sheets there. But before we do that, I gave you several definitions of conflict last time, but let's, just for review purposes, let's look in the front of your pamphlets there, where it gives a definition, and it says down there, let me give it here, conflict is not a war, but it can become one. The dictionary states that a conflict is a clashing of views, opinions, preferences, and statements. Or it means to meet in opposition. That's up here at the top of your pamphlet there. It means to meet in opposition, to be antagonistic. And we have covered already you and another, you and your mate, you and your children, you and your church. And now tonight, conflicts, you and your God. Let me give you three basic statements here, or two basic statements. Often people have conflicts with God because of A, the people of the church, or others in life hurt them. Okay, let me say that again. Often people have conflicts with God because of the people of the church, or others hurt them that represent God or something like that. Say, preacher, what can be those type of situations? An abusive situation, a molestation, a fight, taken advantage of, or finances, or anything like that, that God's people do to someone or someone outside can cause conflict between that person and God. Then I'll give you this statement. They may have conflicts with God because they believe God allows something unfair to happen to them. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It could be a death that happened in their life that they didn't want to be gone. It could be a sickness that they have, or an affliction that they have, much like Job, disease they have, or job that they lost, or a crippling illness that they have. And they say, God, it's your fault because you made me that way. And so looking at those two basic things, people having conflict with God because of the people of the church or others hurt them outside the church, or God allows something unfair to happen, what other reasons can you think of that may cause people to have conflicts with God? What other reasons would a person have? Now remember, opposition is a definition. Be antagonistic against someone. A clashing of views, opinions, or preferences. What other things would cause a person to have a conflict with Almighty God? Jerry? It is, because I told God no, basically. Or like Peter, I said, not so, and Lord, in the same verse. Amen. So that could be. Moses could be called in conflict where God said, look, I want you to go. He said, send somebody else. So that could be considered a conflict. What other situations might be a conflict? Teresa? Amen. Amen. So one unanswered prayer could be it. I mean, I remember a missionary prayed 26 years for his sister to get saved. You know, and then finally, after 26 years, she finally got saved. Ms. Dawson? Amen, amen, and that's true. And again, we think God's unfair. Yeah, Brendel? And what was that, the psalmist, was that Psalm 73, 37, when the psalmist said, you know, he was looking at the wicked and how they prospered, amen. And that's true, and that can cause a conflict. You say, God, look at them. I'm trying to do right, and I'm dirt poor, and they're trying to do wrong, and they're prospering in their wrongness, amen. And that is true. What else could maybe cause a conflict between us and God, Rose? That could be a conflict as well. Amen. One is not, and you know, that's definitely a conflict. Lord, like Mrs. White said, Lord, you could just, and you could do something about this, and you choose not to. And that could be true as well. Who are some notable characters in the Bible that had a conflict with God that we know about? Peter, not so Lord. Jonah, God said go. Jonah said no. Cain, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Amen. Hannah was wanting a child and didn't have a child, and she went before the Lord and wept. Amen. Any other notable characters? Who? Lot. Amen. Esther. Amen. She said, look, if I die, I die. I don't want to do this. Amen. What about some other ones? Naomi. That's right. Naomi went down there and lost her husband and her children. Amen. What about Job? Go over to Job real quick. Notice some of the conflict that Job has here. Job chapter 19. Because some of the notable characters that we know of are famous, and they're famous because of the seeming unfairness that happened. Job chapter 19. And Job here is trying to defend himself in one of his speeches. And notice in Job 19, he's replying back to Bildad, and notice starting in verse number 6. He says, know now that God hath overthrown me. Doesn't that sound like conflict? And hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He has fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. He said, I can't even see where I'm going. He has stripped me of my glory. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about God. He's talking about Almighty God. Now, wait a minute. This is the same guy in chapter 1 that said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the end of all his grief and woe and misery. But now, why is he in this state right now? Because his friends have attacked him and accused him. He was fine by himself. His wife, he's told his wife, you speak of that one to foolish women. You know, take good at God's hand, not take the bad. He said, that's all right. But then when people start getting in his ear. Now he's speaking very harshly towards God. Notice verse number 10. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I'm gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counted me unto him as one of his enemies. He's saying, God, you're treating me like I'm an enemy. his troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He had put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgot me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. Now, who's he blaming all this on? God. I called my servant. He gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I have loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. So he says, have pity on me, at least. Who does he blame all this on? God. You talk about conflict. That's conflict. Now, he has done nothing but right all his life. And so you look at conflict among some notable characters, and we mentioned some good ones. Let me ask you this question. What do you believe is the number one feeder or fuel to our conflict, both with God and other people? What do you think is the number one feeder or the number one fuel that gives us this right, if you would, to attack God and say, God, it's your fault? What's the number one feeler? Pride, okay. Pride. His friends, amen. Brother Neil?
Fear of man.
Fear of man. Amen. Amen. Daniel, you say something? Covetousness. And so the feeder or the fuel to our conflict with God. And all those are good. And all those play into this one central thought that I'm going to talk about. Because think about it. Are we going to have conflict with God? Sometimes. But why do we have it? And everything that y'all said ties into it. May I submit to you that oftentimes we have conflict with God because it's in our minds. It's in our minds. Like Brother Neil said, the fear of man. Like you said, the covetousness. My mind tells me I want my mind. I believe it's our minds. Why do I say that? We already know our flesh is weak and wicked. However, we underestimate our minds. What does Romans 12 to encourage us to do? And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? Renew. Why? Our mind is one of the biggest weapons against us. It's got to be renewed. Otherwise, we're not going to have the mind of Christ. Our mind left to its own will make us go against God and say, God, you owe me back. What made Adam and Eve sin in the garden? Their minds. Satan gave them something to think about. Yea, hath God said. And guess what they did? In their minds, they said, ooh, if we do this, we'll be like that. And guess what? Their mind said, let's do it. And they did it. Adam knew better. The Bible says he knew better. And guess what Adam still did? In his mind, he convinced himself that I need to do this. I believe that when it comes down to conflict between you and I and God, it's in our minds. And so the Bible tells us that we need to be renewed in our minds. What do billboards work on most? Our minds. What do commercials work on most? Our minds. What do advertisements work on most? The mind. What do music work on the most? Minds, movies, magazines, media. It works on our minds to get to what? Our flesh. It works on our minds to get our flesh. And God knows that. That's why he says, I want your minds to be transformed. I want your mind to be renewed, because if not, your mind's going to be attacked by Satan and it's going to control your flesh and you're going to blame God unfairly. Job was doing all right until his friends attacked his mind. And they got inside his head. And he says, hey, no, I'm innocent. And he had to defend himself. Our minds is the battleground when it comes to our relationship with God and that conflict, especially when it comes to what God wants. The devil will fight against us. Conflict between us and God is never with God. It's always with us. God is not in conflict with you at all. Say, preacher, why do you say that? He knows what he wants to do. You know, think about your children when they were little and they didn't have a clue what was going on. And you knew what you wanted to do with your children. You wanted them to be in a certain place. You wanted them to go a certain direction. And you already know the dangers around the house and they're crawling around on the floor and you want to pick them up. And what do they have? A fit. What is that? Conflict. You know what's good for them. And so the conflict is never with God. He knows what's good for us. The conflict is always with us because our minds get attacked and we can't do what we want to do. What's the remedy when it comes down to this? Look at Revelation chapter 2. Let's go back there. Because you've already talked about several biblical characters. Jonah was in conflict with God. Cain was in conflict with God. Job was in conflict with God. Peter was in conflict with God. So many biblical characters were in conflict with God. Did all of them turn out absolutely and totally bad? No. So you and I are going to at times have conflict when we don't agree with God that he's right. By the way, is God always right?
Yes.
He's always right. And so when we think we're right, guess what we're going to have with God? Conflict. Why does God allow certain things to happen? I don't know. But I know this. He does. And guess what our goal and our job is? It's to stay right with God. Revelation chapter 2. This is the church at Ephesus here. We've gone over that all already. What's the remedy? Notice down there in verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. That word left there has the meaning of an intentional and voluntary forsaking. So in other words, the Christians turned voluntarily away from God. By the way, when God does something that we don't agree with, you know what we voluntarily do? We turn away. Well, God, I'm not going to pray to you anymore. See how you feel about that. I'm not going to soul win anymore. See how you feel about that. I'm not going to do what you want me. See how you feel. You think we're hurting God? But that's what we do. I won't do this and I won't do that. If God can make a donkey speak, he can make us do stuff if he wanted to. If he really wanted to. A lot of times I think he just wants you to see how foolish you are to fight against him. Because if there's a conflict between you and I and God, and by the way, I've had my share of conflicts with God. I've had my share of conflicts. I say, God, why this and why that and why this and why that and why can't it be my way? You know what God comes back and tells me? Because you're not God. And I get poochy lip. Well, if I was God, I'd do this. That's why you ain't God. Mess stuff up. So left has a voluntary forsaking, intentional. It's something that you did on your own. And that's normally what we do. We leave our first love. Think about when we first got saved. We didn't even know what it was for God to be unfair. I mean, God was always right when we first got saved. There was nothing wrong that God could do. But then somebody came along like Job's friends and started whispering in our ear. And guess what? Our minds got active and started saying, I'm missing out. I'm not getting what I'm supposed to be getting. I get the old Adam and Eve syndrome. And so a voluntary forsaking takes place. But then notice in verse 5, what should we do? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Two connotations here. Remember has the idea of recalling and rethinking or exercising our minds. What did I say the number one cause is? Our minds get infected. It gets infected with what we want as opposed to what God wants. What does the rest of Romans 12:2 say? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In our attacked mind, we are not going to prove that. If we're in conflict with God, that's not going to get proved. The only thing we're going to try and do is justify ourselves. But when we remember how good God is and recall and rethink and exercise our minds and remember, hey, look, I've left God's perfect will for my life because I'm so busy looking at the other person. Now we can work here. And so fallen has the idea of being driven off course and falling away. How many ever ran into a ditch before? If you run into some muddy banks, brother, how hard is it to get out? It's almost impossible. You need a tow truck to pull you out. There's a reason why they have those little when you start going on the sideline to wake you up. Because once you get in that ditch, somebody's going to pull you out. And some of them can be pretty muddy and muggy and hard to get out of. Amen. And I remember one time we was in Illinois and we were going home and the exit was right there and it was icy. And we just tapped the brake. And guess what we started to do? Slide. And we was headed right for the bank of snow into the median because it went, the ramp went that way and the highway went that way. And once we tapped the brakes, we just started sliding. Guess where we went end up? Right into the median, into the bank of snow. Guess how hard it was to get out of there? It was hard because it was icy. Praise God, nobody else hit us. Amen. So he says, hey, look, you got to understand the remedy is you've left your first love. You got to remember by recalling, rethinking, exercising your mind. Understand falling means you've been driven off course. And then those he says, repent. Those down there, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and do what? Repent. What does repent mean? It has the idea of thinking differently after we have recalled and rethought some things. And get my mind back into gear to the way God wants it. By the way, has God moved? God hadn't moved at all. We the ones doing this. God, how you like my shoulders? And God is saying, you know what? I could just thump you on the back of your head and you pop right over like I did Goliath. I'm glad he doesn't do that. But he says, repent has the idea of thinking differently or to reconsider. It's a change of mind and heart leading to a change of direction from fallen to following again. By the way, because that's what happened to the church at Ephesus. They lost the sweetness of God and something happened in their minds and they went in a different direction. And that's oftentimes what happens with this conflict with God. Something happens in our mind and we're not thinking right. Because who in their right mind wants to fight against God? I remember in Chicago when I was a kid, they had a play called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. Anybody ever heard that? It was a play in Chicago, Your Arms Are Too Short to Box. Now, I have no idea what it was about. But the title of it alone made me think, I don't want to box with God. Your arms are too short to box with God. One of the things about Muhammad Ali, he'd hold out that hand and he'd keep you right out there. Let go of that hand and pop you once and put it right back out. Let go and pop you again and stick it out there. And he'd always keep you at arm's length. And he'd dance around you. And we went, pop. And you couldn't get any closer. You very rarely got a good blow with him. Joe Frazier did, amen. But not many others, amen. Because he kept them at arm's length. And he'd pop you while he had it out there and just kept it like that. Our arms are too short to box with God. Hey, there's a conflict here. And so we've got to go from fallen to following again because our minds, Satan wants to corrupt them with every means possible. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Go over to Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13. And we're going to wrap this thing up here. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And notice what Jeremiah lets the people of God know. Jeremiah 29. And verse 13, many of you probably have already committed this verse to memory. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And notice what it says down there. And ye shall seek me and what? Find me. God is not trying to play the shell game like, oh, peekaboo, I'm here. No, I'm not. God is not interested in playing games like that. He says, but if you seek me, you're going to find me. But how? When ye shall search for me with what? All your heart. He said, I don't want half-heartedness. I want you to wholeheartedly return to your first love. Remember what it was like. Remember that you're fallen. You're in the ditch. You have gone off course. If there's a conflict between me and you, I haven't moved. I'm still here. Now, granted, your situation may be different and you may not like the situation that you're in. But I'm still the same merciful God. I'm still the same loving God. I'm still the same compassionate God. I still know where you're at. I still know your address. And I can still work in your life. But sometimes God has to allow us to go through this time of conflict to remember how good he really is to us. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. And let's go right back to our mind. Our mind gets us in trouble oftentimes with God, and that's where the conflict comes in. Isaiah 55. Again, most of us know these verses. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Notice that. My and your and my. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are what? My ways higher than what? Your ways, and my what? Thoughts than what? Your thoughts. It goes right back to it's a mind thing. It's really a mind thing. We let people and the devil give us thoughts that are contrary to the will and the word of God. And the devil tells us it's not fair that this happened to you. It's not fair that that happened to you. It's not fair that these people did this to you. It's not fair that the preacher did this to you. It's not fair. Now they got the Catholic Church saying anybody in any time and anywhere and every place that got molested, come forward. Everybody's going to be come forward. And if that's the case, if they got looked at cross-eyed. I want $1 million. What happened? A priest touched my hand. Really? Anybody, everywhere, at any time, come forward? I don't think that's a smart move. Why? People want money. Now, does the Catholic Church have it to give? Yeah, well, of course they've got it to give. But when you look at this, we want somebody to blame. And it's easy to blame God because I can't see God. It's easy to blame God. God, it's your fault. Because if you could, you could... and it would be done. I know Brother Kelly can't snap his finger and it'd be done. Daniel can't snap his finger and it'd be done. I know Brother Duffy can't snap his finger and it'd be done, but God, you can do it, so it's your fault. And that's what we start to think. We start to think, God, if you snap your finger, it could be done. And I could be out of whatever it is. And so, God, I'm mad at you. And there starts our conflict. Because it all starts right here. The devil loves attacking your mind. That's why God over and again repeatedly says, be renewed in your mind, be renewed in your mind, be renewed in your mind, be renewed in your mind. Because this thing will attack you and get you to believe in some strange things about God. And God loves you. Think about it. Why do your children turn against you sometimes? The devil attacks their minds. You're the ones that love them. You're the ones that raised them. You're the ones that changed their diapers. You're the ones that birthed them. You're the one that changed them when they couldn't do anything. You were the ones. And the devil gets them in their minds and gets them to thinking, you're a bad mom. You're a bad dad. That's the devil. But wait a minute. He does the same thing to us. The devil wants you to have conflict with God because he knows that God is the very one that loves you. Let's look at our pamphlet as we close. Notice what it says down there. Remember, God does not leave you. But you leave God. When you have a conflict between you and God, you should remember, repent, and return to God. If you do not, the Lord could remove your peace and fellowship. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins, God will cleanse. But if you continue, God will chasten. The choice is yours. The purpose is to resolve and restore, not renounce. One of the things that I would encourage you to do, read your Psalms regularly. Read Job regularly. Give you some good medicine. And you'll see that there is somebody that has it worse than you. Reading those Psalms, there's a whole lot of people had it worse than you. Reading Job, Job had it worse than us. Even over in Corinthians where Paul said, hey, look, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul had it bad too. But the devil wants to attack us right here because he knows this is going to control what we do. He wants you to be an enemy of God. Think about it. The very two people that God created, he turned both of them against God. How? He got them right there. And ever since then, next on the list was Cain, killed his brother, and so many others. Folks, if there's a conflict between you and God, that means Satan has duped us into believing something that is not true. God loves us and God cares for us. Do we understand all of God's ways? No, we don't. That's why we've got to read Isaiah and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but help me make sense of it. My wife and I, we serve God, and man, we thought, Lord, we don't understand why we're not having kids. What's up with that? Like I said, Lord, you can snap your finger and we can have kids, but you're not doing it. And we wondered, do you really love us? Yeah, of course he did, but we didn't understand it. And that can bring conflict. Folks, as we leave out tonight, there's going to be a lot of things that we don't understand, but don't let it be a source of conflict between you and God. Just say, God, I don't understand it. Help me to make sense of it. Help me to reconcile it. Help me to wait on you. It's not always easy to wait on God. David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But then he gave the encouragement, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Conflict between you and God is always going to be a problem with us, never with God. And if it's with us, it's stormy in our minds. Let's get our thinking in the Word of God, that our thoughts can be God's thoughts. Father, thank you so much for the biblical characters that we have seen and that we know of that have gone through some conflicts with you. And Lord, with those biblical characters, they have seen to come out of that. Lord, we don't want to be in a fight. We don't want to be in a race with you or against you. We don't want to be against you. Lord, we want to be with you, and we want to be used for you. And God, if there's a conflict between us, we need to remember. We need to repent. Lord, we got to understand that we have fallen. We're in a ditch, and we need you to bring us out of that ditch. Restore our thoughts. Restore our minds. Help us to think the way you would have us to think. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need. Work in our hearts. Help us with the conflict, no matter who it may be with, whether it's us or with the church. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.